I'm excited about going back into the Word today, week two of this series called Dig It. Amen. Can you dig is what we preached last Sunday and really set in this story of Abraham who dug wells and then his son Isaac who came along, the next generation. The enemy was so angry and so jealous and so upset over Abraham's promise. You remember God's promise in his life, I will make your seed like the sand of the seashore, and I will bless you abundantly, and you and I have been grafted into that promise, and you and I are blessed. That all began and originated with Abraham. But the enemy was so angry about his blessings, so jealous that they filled in the wells that he dug, the Bible says, with earth. And Isaac comes along, and as we taught last Sunday, just by way of recap here for just a moment, Isaac comes along, and they are in a famine. They are in a drought. People are losing their herds. People are losing all of their money. They're losing lives, and Isaac continues to plant. He continues to sow. He continues to grow. He continues to see the blessing of God even in a drought season. So where we left off last week was the king coming and telling Isaac, we want you to go. We want you to leave because your life is an indictment to us. We have no faith. We don't believe at all. We're just struggling in this drought, and here you are, you know, smiling in the storm. Here you are praising and worshiping when times are tough. And so we want you to move on. We want you to go somewhere else because, you know, misery loves company, and misery doesn't want anybody happy around them. Misery doesn't want anyone blessed around them. So you have to go. You have to go. And so we go to Genesis 26 this morning. Genesis 26 beginning at verse number 18. And I really am just picking up where I left off. If you missed last Sunday, I encourage you to go to YouTube, the Church Covington. You can subscribe there. You can catch all of our recent messages, and you can get caught up there. But Genesis 26 and verse 18, the Bible said that Isaac reopened the well. So he's left that land. He's gone back to his father Abraham's land. And the Bible said that he reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. So Isaac said, I am going to redig wells. I'm going to reopen wells. I'm going to clear out the earth that the enemy poured into these wells. And I'm going to rename them the same names that my father gave them. He's doing this because everything that the generations before us handed to us is not bad. Now, I want you to track with me a little bit, and let's work in the Word for a few moments today. Isaac said, I don't have to come up with a cool, catchy name. I don't have to come up with a new plan. I know I may have a better shovel than my father had. I may have better digging instruments than the generation before me had, but their intention was exactly right, and their purpose was exactly right. I may have better tools in my lifetime, but I'm going to rename them the same name. It was important to Isaac to name the wells his father Abraham dug by the same name. It was more than honor. It was more than just, you know, this is a way to honor my father, or this is a way to honor his legacy or his sacrifice. He's doing this because, in essence, he is saying, I am going back to, I am reclaiming. That's what revival is. Revival is a rebirth. It is a renewal of something. Yes, style may have changed. Methods may have changed. Our process for going about some of the things that we do now versus the way that the generation before us did them. Those things may have changed, but the root is good. So I just, at the outset of this message today and this teaching, I'm just curious if you are willing for us to get back to the basics, if we are willing to get back to the root of some things that worked, some things that were successful in building churches, things that were successful in building people, things like prayer, things like fasting, things like heartfelt and heart-filled worship. Can we get back to some of those wells? I know times have changed. I know things are so much cooler in 2021 than they were in 1941. I know so much has changed about the way we do things, but can I tell you, there are some things that have not changed. Some things only happen because of prayer and fasting. Some things only happen because of sacrifice. And Isaac said, I'm not trying to change that. I'm not trying to get away from that. I'm not trying to excuse myself from sacrifice. I'm willing to make the sacrifice. That's why I want to redig these wells and name them the same names that my father gave to them, because I want to get back to what works. I want to get back to what works. And I want to do it with urgency, as though eternity depends upon it. I want to do it with urgency. I want there to be an urgency as pastor of this awesome church. I want there to be an urgency that says, you know what? We got to work while it is day. The night comes that no man is going to be able to work. We've got to win souls today. We can't miss our opportunity. We cannot miss our chance. We cannot miss our moment. I tell our team often, we only get 52 Sundays a year. We can't afford to waste one. We've got to be as passionate this Sunday as we are any Sunday. We've got to be effective. We've got to do what God has called us to do with urgency, because someone walked through the door today with crisis in their life, an issue in their life, and pain in their life. And if I'm just flippant, going through the motions, you know, this is just another Sunday. It's kind of overcast. The sun isn't out, so that must mean the sun is resting too. And we'll just kind of get through this Sunday and go to lunch and just punt, you know, and we'll come back next Sunday. No, there is somebody in this room that needs the presence of the Lord. There is someone that came struggling with addiction, someone who came with hell raging in their life. That's why I'm going to worship with my whole heart and everything that I have. I'm going to pick up a shovel another Sunday and dig and dig and dig. Can you dig it? He said there's got to be urgency. So Isaac's servants, verse 19, dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. I don't know how many years it had been. I'm sure this information is available, but I didn't study quite that far. I don't know how long it's been since these wells worked. Someone who is adept and has strong desire for some of these details. It would be an interesting study for you this week. I don't know how many years it's been since Abraham's well has been operational, but here comes Isaac, and they begin to dig again, and they found a well of fresh water there. See, we may say, well, it's been so many years. It's been so long. Those days are too gone by. There's no way that something is still flowing here. But hear me, those are just excuses that the devil convinces us we can use. If there was ever water there, then I'll bet you it can flow again. If there was ever a move of the Spirit of God there, I guarantee you it can flow again. I go into churches all the time, and I'm getting calls more and more about coming to churches where people are trying to redig wells. We got too far away from the move of the Holy Spirit. We got too far away from passionate prayer. We've gotten too far away from intercession. Can you come and help us? Can you come and preach to us? Can you come and help us redig wells? You better believe if it ever flowed here, I guarantee you it can flow again. It just depends on somebody to pick up a shovel and put their blade into the dirt and begin to dig again. It's not going to happen because one man on the stage is willing to preach like a fool. It's going to happen because small group leaders and ushers and worship team members and secretaries and church kids lead. It's going to be because everybody in this house says, you know what? I ought to have a shovel too. I'm ready to dig and build and see what is available in 20. I know we're living in crazy times, but I'm going to sow even in a drought season. I'm going to continue to dig even though the climate looks crazy. I'm going to dig to see if water will flow again. I guarantee you there's fresh water. Guarantee you there's promise, because I want the same water. I want fresh water. I want the same water, the same anointing, the same glory that I came up in as a child. I'm not looking for new glory. I'm not looking for unidentifiable glory. Now hear what I'm saying and not what I am not saying, because I'm down with the new stuff. I'm here for every new process and style and method, everything that makes things easier. I carry a phone around that has more computer power in it than the first computer that launched a rocket into space. I'm not going back to the rotary phone. I've already experienced that season. My kids do not even know what it is. So I'm not saying I got to go back to that. I'm going to use every advance and every technological win. I'm going to use all of that to my advantage. But there are some things that don't have to change. I still want an old-fashioned anointing. I still want old-fashioned breakthrough power. I feel like I'm all by myself in this church. I still want an old glory that changes lives and destroys yokes and makes the difference in someone's home. Does anybody else want that kind of glory? Yes, the latter is going to be greater than the former, but it's still the same glory. It's just a redigging. It's a fresh understanding. It's a new revelation to a new generation. He said, I want the same water. I want it to be fresh water. I want the same anointing. I just want it to be a fresh anointing. So they're digging, and they found water. But you know the enemy's going to show up. The Bible said in verse 20 that the herders of Gerar, that's the enemy's camp, they quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitna. So far in this story, we have seen the enemy fight against these wells. They were jealous of Abraham and the blessing on his life. They're angry with Isaac and the blessing on his life. They filled Abraham's wells with dirt. And now that Isaac is digging again, they are coming and meeting them at this well site with sword and spear and anger and fury. And they are quarreling over this water, saying, "This is ours." Isaac is redigging wells. But of course, the enemy is not happy about this. Not happy. Not going to be happy when you go after the same anointing that was on your grandmother's life. Not going to be happy when you go after the same passion that was on your great-grandfather's life. Let me tell you how the enemy sees this. Jesus taught us in Matthew 12, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through and places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to the house I left," and when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation. That's what Jesus said. When you kick the devil out once, he goes and finds help. And he comes back to try to take up residence. We already filled these wells up with dirt once. And now a new generation has come trying to redig wells of prayer and fasting and sacrifice. I'm going to bring some reinforcements because I've already conquered your well once, the enemy thinks, believes. So I'm not about to allow you to redig this. I'm going to bring more trouble into your life. I'm going to bring more issue into your life. That's why your comeback seems so difficult. That's why your renewal seems so difficult. Your rebirth seems so difficult. But can I tell you, the same Bible that says the devil will bring seven other spirits with him, that same Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Devil, bring 7, bring 14, bring 21, bring 28, bring all you have, because God in me is still greater. I'm digging because I know the water of life and renewal and revival is just beneath the surface of this ground. I'm going to keep digging. You got to do what you got to do, devil. But hear me, I and the God in me are going to be victorious. I'm preaching good. Going to be victorious. I am going to overcome. I am going to conquer. If you do not have that in your spirit yet, if you do not have that in your brain yet, if you do not have that in your heart yet, I'm calling you to prayer. I'm calling you to renewal. I'm calling you to a revival in your life until you believe that you are more than a conqueror, that you are victorious, that you are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You are an overcomer. I don't care what is swirling in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of crisis has come. God in you is greater than anything that is against you. Somebody give the Lord praise for his victory. So the Bible said that he named the well Esek. The enemy does not want to give up this well. And that's interesting to me. There was a fight over the first well. The enemy said, "This water is ours." That got me curious. Why? Why did they want that water so bad? Well, let me tell you why. Esek means contention. Esek means contention. The enemy wanted the well of contention. The enemy wanted the well of arguing, constant bickering, fussing, and fighting. Have you ever seen a day where people like to argue more than we're living in right now? The enemy loves contention. The enemy is fighting over this well right here. Oh, no. No, I want there to be contention. I want there to be contention in the community. I'm not going to rest until there's contention in the church. And oh, yes. Apparently, we're not quite holy enough. Apparently, we're not quite saved enough. Apparently, we didn't shout loud enough. Because the enemy has allowed contention to get into the body of Christ. Isaac is redigging a well, but the enemy is saying, no, I want contention. I want there to be arguing and fussing and fighting and territory battles and squabbles and fusses and skirmishes over every subject imaginable. I'm going to give you social media platforms where you can type till your fingers are sore, just fussing about everything. Mad, I don't like you. I'm going to leave a review. One star. Because we're contentious and we're fighting and we're fussing. Isaac said, you know what? You can have contention. I'm not going to fight you over this. You can have this. I'm not fooling with this. I'm not arguing with people in 2021. It doesn't mean that I'm right and you're wrong. It just means I have better things to give my attention to. It's amazing when you leave an argument with somebody and they're just left standing there going, wait, you get back over here. I'm not through talking to you. Well, I'm through with you talking to me. I'm not signing in today. I'm not getting involved in the latest squabble. I've said it before. I sat on some committees here locally in our community, and I bring it up all the time. We're doing a night of hope, and it's churches that are coming together and some beautiful things to just try to bring hope to our community. And I've told pastors that I sat around the table with, hey, fellas, we gotta make a difference in our community. We gotta change this community because we are too negative. We are so upset over everything. We are mad about everything. Is anybody glad about anything that is going on? Hey, devil, you can have contention. I'm leaving the argument because there is something better to talk about. I'm going to set my affections on things above. I'm going to get above all of the junk. So Isaac said, enemy, you do what you want. You do what you want with Esek. I'm moving on. And so the Bible said that they moved on to the second well. It was the well called Sitna. And the enemy, he got even stronger. The enemy got even more aggressive. Why is it? Because this is a favorite well of the devil. The Bible teaches us to be aware, not ignorant of the devil's devices or of his plans. But I'm going to tell you something. The world has fallen for this one. Sitna means hatred. When Isaac began to redig, when Isaac put his shovel into the ground, here comes the enemy. Oh, no, you're not. You are not getting this well. This is Sitna. This is the well of hatred. We're getting too much good out of this. We are too effective with the well of hatred. No, no, no. You cannot have this one. And so the enemy is fighting. But hear me. The world has fallen for this trap where they hate one another, and they are so furious with one another, and they feel so violated and victimized by one another. The enemy wants us to hate one another. He starts out small. He starts out with one thing, but it continues to grow and grow and grow. Started out with racial issues, and that's serious. And I reject and rebuke racism from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I cast it out of this church if it exists here. It's a part of our mission. We are all about diversity, age, race, every way you can imagine. I'm so thankful that I can go to church with people of different race than me, people that don't look like Mia. I want this to be a church that looks like heaven, where red, yellow, black, and white are all precious in his sight. I refuse to hate my brother because of the color of their skin or for any reason. But when he can't get us on racial issues, then all of a sudden it's Republican versus Democrat. I'll get to where you are in just a minute. I mean, the political divide. Then it's mask or no mask. Currently, it's vaccinated or unvaccinated. We're going to hate people. We're going to be so contentious with one another. I'm not saying there isn't discussion to be had on any subject. Absolutely. But gone are the days that we can sit down and discuss and potentially get up and say, you know what? We're just going to have to agree to disagree. No, 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 no. We're canceling one another. Now, I mean, they're shooting people in our streets just a few miles from here. It's unbelievable what's happening in our communities. And it's not just Atlanta, it's not just the metro that we live in. It is the entire nation where people are losing their minds. People have gone crazy. Isaac said, I just want to deal with this. I just want to try to fix this. I just want to try to heal this. And the enemy swarmed in and said, oh no, no, no. I'm getting my best work done through the vehicle of hatred. That's why when you feel those feelings rising up in you, child of God, you got to say, oh no, I'm not going to be used of the devil today. I'm not going off on this sonic employee. I'm not going to lose my mind at start. I'm not going crazy at the. I'm going to love people. I'm going to care about people. I'm going to let Jesus live in me and light up. Is anybody in this room willing to kick the devil out and refuse to hate your brother or your sister? Sitna. He said, I'm not fooling with you. I'm not fooling with you. I'm not fooling with you. The media is on it. Politicians are in on it. The devil is busy. But you can't make me hate you. I refuse to play the devil's games or win his prizes. I'm ready to love somebody. I'll make you uncomfortable, men. Look me in the eye. I love you. Care about you. I refuse to be at odds with my brother over foolishness. Isaac said, I don't have time for contention or hatred. So verse 22, he moved on from there and dug another well. And listen to this, no one quarreled over it. Wait a minute. We've been digging, and devil, you've been fighting. We've been working, and opposition has shown up. We've been trying to build a church, and here comes the enemy fighting everything that we're trying to do. But you're telling me they finally got to some ground that the enemy wanted nothing to do with? Which well is this that the enemy wasn't interested in? You mean I can think thoughts that the devil isn't curious about? You mean I can point my life in a direction that the devil will not follow? Yeah. The Bible said he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. I'm coming to a close here in just a moment. But it's fascinating to me that Rehoboth means open spaces. Open spaces. Hear me. The devil doesn't want anything to do with vision. He doesn't want anything to do with wide open opportunity. He wants you to stay in a box. He wants to limit your faith. He wants you to get so focused on whatever the current contention is. He wants you to get so zoned in on whatever the media is telling us to hate and despise today. But when you set your affection on things above, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. Whenever you decide, I'm not playing the enemy's games anymore, I'm going to look out. I'm going to look out and see just what it is that is available to me. I'm going to see what land God has called me to conquer. I want to see what new horizons God has called me to explore. I'm going to get a vision for my life that is bigger than just the little square foot pad I'm standing on. I'm going to get a vision for my church, for my community, for my family that is larger than the current mess that all of us are feeling and living in our lives. I'm going to see something beyond. I'm going to go farther than I've ever been before. It's too late, devil. I already saw it. I caught a glimpse, and now I refuse anything less than what I deserve, and I do deserve everything that God has for me in my life. No more low living, no more broke days. I'm dug in. Dug in. And I want the open spaces that God has called me to. I want open spaces for this church. I want open spaces for this house. I want open spaces for our ministry and for our efforts. I want open spaces. That's why when they come and say, Pastor Darrell, we have an opportunity to double. We feed 50 plus families, and we fed as many as 100 families, but of course people have been able to go back to work, and things are changing for various ones. But when someone graduates out of the program or says, you know what, we're not needing this weekly anymore, but I have a friend or I've got a family member, and others come, and 50 plus families, and when they come and say, hey, we have an opportunity to probably double that, we have a need that we can meet. I don't even what is the argument? What is the decision? If we can help people, let's help people. What is holding us back? What would keep us from doing that? If we can make a difference, let's make a difference. What is a trailer? What is a truck? What is another room? What is a little air conditioning? What are some lights? What is it? Let's do something that makes a difference in someone's life, because he said, don't get stuck at contention. Don't get stuck in hate. Get stuck over there in vision, where it is as expansive and as big as you can dream it to be. Talking about building a church, ladies and gentlemen. Not talking about waiting until everyone gets back. I'm not talking about waiting until virus calms down and then we'll do something for God. I'm talking about taking what we have right now. I'm talking about playing the hand that we have been dealt and doing something great for God. What is it that God wants us to do? How big does God want us to be? How vast, how expansive, how large could our vision be? What is God calling us to? Pastor, this is my first time here. I don't know. Listen, God had you here for a reason today. Maybe because he's calling you to be a part of something big. Vision. I'm through worrying every day. Every day. Please don't misinterpret this as no compassion or that's not, because we're on this. We're taking care of people. We're feeding people. We're loving people and texting with people today that are waiting results of their test, and we're dealing with this. We're dealing with this. And while we're going to take care of them and do whatever we can to get people back to health, wholeness, we're not stopping. We're not hanging harps. We're not shutting down, because the vision is bigger. The vision is big. And there is work to do. I love what Proverbs said. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If there is no vision, I honestly believe that is much of what is wrong in our communities right now. There is no vision. This crime wave that's happening in Atlanta, you realize that the majority of those perpetrating crimes are 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-old young men. What's wrong? There's no vision. There's no vision in their home. There's no parent, there's no grandparent, there's no mentor, there's no one saying, hey, young king, hey, little man, God has more for you. Why? Because the church has been so consumed. Should we have on a mask or not? Should I get vaccinated? I'm not diminishing the importance of either one of those things. Do what you feel to do and what medically is best for you. But we have been so consumed in our media. What did Trump say today? What did Biden do today? You're so consumed and so locked in that we're not thinking about the call of God on our lives to love people, to win souls, and to make a difference. Where there is no vision, people perish. I will not die. And I will not let the vision of this house perish. I refuse to sit around a well that only produces drops when God says there's an ocean with my name on it. Who can see what I see today? Who's ready for more? Something beyond. Wide open opportunities for ministry, for life change, for healing. You know what the Bible said? I'm done, I promise. The Bible said in verse 23, don't miss next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday. We're going to the New Testament. You're going to see that these wells are still alive. You don't want to miss next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. This is a wonderful season to bring people to church with you. It's a beautiful season to bring people into the presence of God. They're looking for hope, craving vision. But verse 23 says that from there, from Rehoboth, Isaac went up to Beersheba. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. I want you to notice that as Isaac began to dig, it was on that same night at that same prayer meeting that God made the exact promise of blessing to Isaac that he had placed on his father, Abraham. Here's what God told me to tell you today. If we'll dig their wells, we can have their blessing. If we'll dig, their promise is our promise. Their open door is our open door. I'm dug in. This is what God wants in my life. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. I'm still preaching to young people. I'm still talking to students. I'm still preaching the next generation that I have to describe as now. I need our young people on this stage. I need our youth leading departments. I'm seeing rooms right now. I'm seeing meeting. Dear God. I see meeting rooms where adults are sitting and a student is up leading the meeting. And the adult doesn't care that it's someone 20 or 30 years younger that's instructing or giving direction, because the vision is bigger. The call is bigger. I need you, young man, young woman. But your first stop on the way to that room is in an altar, place of commitment. Isaac, you're just a young man living in your daddy's shadow. They keep talking about your daddy, the God of your father Abraham. But if you live long enough, Isaac, if you dig long enough, they're going to talk about the God of your father Abraham and of Isaac. And if you train the next generation, they're going to pray things like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Somebody just needs a vision of all that is possible. Take my hands, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. Take my hands, take my feet, touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. You can use anything, Lord, use me. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but if you're in this room and you want to respond, you want to stand with me across this room. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord.
If you can use anything,
what is God calling you to?
You can use.
What is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you?
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
So glad you're home, Charlie.
Touch my heart,
you're an intercessor.
Lord, speak through me.
So thankful to have you,
if
in this house,
anything,
traveling, helping family,
Lord,
but
you can
we're going to new levels.
Me.
Who wants to go if you can use?
If you can use anything, Lord,
where did I put
you
myself?
Can use me.
I know it's in this garage somewhere. The handle is worn.
If you can use anything, Lord,
but I bet
you
it still
can
works.
Use me.
I bet it will still push through the hard ground.
Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
You can use.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Woo.
Well, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you're not saved, if you're not where you need to be with God, if you're online today, maybe you dropped in halfway through this message, maybe you just showed up, but conviction has arrested your heart. I need to be saved. I need to be right with Jesus. I don't want to miss my opportunity. Listen to me. God is not going to anoint you until you belong to Him. He's not going to bless you. He's not going to give you the vision that you crave until you're willing to submit in His presence. I know our world is, it's this no contract thing is really popular. You can love it and leave it. You can have access to it but never worry about owning it. It's not so with the Lord. If you want everything that God has, you got to lay your life on an altar somewhere and say, Lord, I say yes to you. I commit my life to you. Probably not going to be perfect. I'm probably going to mess that up at some point. But Lord, as the deer thirst for the water brook, so my soul thirst for you. I'll keep coming back to this well. I'll keep finding this water, the balance of my days. I pray today for every heart in this house, everyone tuned in. Come on, you got to make this prayer your prayer. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Search my heart, oh God. I'm not going to do this my way. I'm going to do this your way. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you. I'm not walking my own path. I'm walking the path that you illuminate. Be the lamp for my feet, Father. Restore my life. Renew my life. Let this be the day that I am born again. But not just so that I can make heaven my eternal home, but allow me to be born again so that I am baptized with purpose while I remain here on the earth. I pray today that you would set our lives on fire. I pray today that our homes and our hearts and our heads would burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. If you prayed that with me for the first time, either side of this auditorium, yes, banners, grab a Following Jesus book. We've gone through them in the last few weeks. We just ordered dozens and dozens more. For some reason you miss it, we've got just a couple. I've got this one. You can get this one. But if you need some next steps, some how-to, some where do I go from here, this book will help you. More importantly, we want you in a small group. We want you here next Sunday. We want you to keep reaching for the things of God. Get a vision for your life. Be done with Esau. Be done with Sitna. No more contention. No more hatred. I'm going after open spaces in Jesus' name. Anybody ready? Come on, sing it one more time.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
You want to spend some time in the Lord today?
Touch my heart.